Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope you're as happy and as excited as I am to be in the house of the Lord together. It's great we can come together every week. Not many places around this world can do this, but we can. Praise God for that. We are continuing in Acts this week. Acts chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12. We're going to go through verse 32. This morning, Acts 5, verse 12. What's your favorite TV show? You can shout it out unless you're too embarrassed by what you watch. It's cartoons. ER?
NCIS.
There we go. Now we're talking. I like all things detective. Many people watch shows on TV. It's usually doctors, nurses, lawyers, detectives. That's your range, maybe. Do you think the detectives on the TV show up to real crimes on their days off? I think they just got that in their system. They're like, oh, we're just going to go see what's going on. Probably not. Or the nurses or the doctors or the lawyers, that wouldn't go so well, would it? It's okay. I played one on TV. Today we're going to see two groups here that claim God. Claim they belong to God. One's going to be found to be genuine. And one is going to be found just playing the role, just much like our favorite TV shows. One's going to be genuine. One is playing the role. We will also ask ourselves if we are genuine or just playing the role.
Amen.
Three parts this morning. Acts chapter 5, the church was spreading, the church was persecuted, and the religious were without God. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they were even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison, so they returned and reported. We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you to not teach in this name, yet there you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel for forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather this morning together. We thank you that we have this opportunity to worship you and to study your holy word. Be with us now as we do this very thing. Write our hearts and our minds and help us leave this place changed today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Where are we today? It's been a few weeks since we were together. We're still, the text says, we're still under Solomon's portico, so we're still under this porch in this temple. We also see that they're imprisoned, and they're brought before the high priest. So if you see your maps on this in this area, you've got the on your handouts, you've got Solomon's porch, and you've got where the temple is, and you've got where the high priest lives. So this is the area they would have been, under the porch, and then in prison, and then before the high priest. This is our location, and the context is still church growth. The one change in context today is that people from areas surrounding Jerusalem are also coming in. They're coming to see the miracles, to get in on the miracles, to hear the teachings, to see this thing called the church that has sprung up out of nowhere. So we're starting to see the spread. Now we said that our first part here in the study of Acts was going to be the gospel carried in Jerusalem, and then we were going to spread out to the surrounding areas. This is the beginning of this year. We're going to begin by looking at this spreading of the church this morning. The church was spreading. If you remember our last section, we had an inner look at what the church was all about. It also gave us a look at the deception trying to enter, and God snuffing it out. His plans and His alone. Our first five verses today show us that this scene with Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember this scene, it did not hinder the church in any way. So they walked in with money and they gave some, but not all, but said it was all, and God struck them down, and that didn't hinder the church. It actually expanded. Miracles were still being done, and more believers were being added than ever before. That's what it says. We already looked at thousands being added. Here it says it is more. So more than thousands becoming believers. It is interesting, however, that our text does say all were in Solomon's portico, so under this porch, and none of the rest dared to enter. This feels strange, the words all and none. Together. This feels like the kind of descriptors you get when you speak with someone that likes to speak in extremes. They say it's always, they say it's forever, they say it's never. You may be speaking with children. I never do that. You always do this. My favorite one is you always say no. How do you have all your stuff? I always say no. Here it is all and none in our text. What are we to gather from this? Well, the grammar here leaves some room for a couple of options. The all is the apostles, and none is the rest of the believers in all of the apostles. So this is one option. The other is that the all refers to believers in the area, and the none are the unbelievers. So unbelievers too afraid to be a part of the church unless truly converted. Or believers, but standing in awe of the miracles and the events that they are witnessing. These are options. Either could be true. Probably both are true. We could see this, and both reveal the kind of power and authority being witnessed here. The other note here on the church spreading is that this notion that other towns around Jerusalem are starting to join in, they're coming to Jerusalem and bringing with them all those who are sick or possessed or injured, and they are looking for miracles themselves. It actually says, our text actually says, they settle for just the touch of Peter's shadow. Now think about that. I can't get a shadow of anyone from up here. Just the touch of Peter's shadow. Does that remind us of anything? Mark 5, chapter 5, verse 22, we have a story. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be well, made well and alive. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, even a touch of his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, Who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Do you see any similarities there? He had just healed a demon-possessed man. That's where we are in Mark chapter 5. He heals a demon-possessed man. And then he's on his way to raise a man's daughter from the dead. And in between, this crowd presses in, and a woman needs to merely touch him to be healed. Not him, his clothes. She didn't need to be noticed. She didn't need his attention. Only needed faith. Your faith has made you well. Now we find the church growing on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection. And what is happening? The same things. Crowds are growing. Miracles are being had. People are not even trying to bother Peter anymore. They merely want his shadow to touch them. Is Peter now Jesus' replacement on earth? No. That's not it. There are religions that say that's it. That is not it. There is not a new Savior. Peter is not a stand-in for Jesus. Amen. Jesus was and is and always will be. God the Father was and is and always will be. The Holy Spirit was and is and always will be. It's by the Spirit these things are happening. This Holy Trinity working in our behalf, and the Spirit inside of Peter and the faith of these people in the Jesus he speaks of is the focus here. It is not Peter. Today's the same way. Still the same God. Still the same Son who sacrificed for us. Still the same Spirit inside of us. Does our church grow like the one on our pages? No. Not many do. It's not that church growth is important. Getting the gospel to all people is important. Worshiping the God who created all things is important. But does our church grow like this? No. What's the difference? God is not different. Jesus is not different, still the same Spirit inside of you that's inside of Peter. So what is the difference? It's us. Amen. The difference is our willingness to reach out, to enter people's lives, to share the gospel. And the difference is the faith of those around us. On our pages, it is, I believe in Jesus so much that I will travel hundreds of miles not to see Jesus, not to speak with the apostles, but to merely stand in their shadow. This is the faith of those who believe on our pages. And the faith of the apostles is to keep pressing forward, no matter the cost, no matter the persecution. They're going to die for their faith. For you and me to have our faith, they die. We're going to look at another arrest on our pages today. We're not even willing to have uncomfortable conversations. We're not willing to answer questions about the faith we claim, about eternal security that our belief delivers to us, the security that we hold on to like a death grip. We would rather blend in than stand out for Jesus. Do we see the difference? What are you willing to be uncomfortable for in your life? There's something. What is it? And what does it say about your faith? Let's continue on here. We're going to look at how uncomfortable this church on our pages is willing to get. The church was persecuted. This will be a theme throughout our study in Acts. That's what it is. Persecution and spread of the church. The persecution on our pages is what largely leads to the spread of the church. The killing of Jesus did not kill the church, but started it. And the persecuting of the church does not contain it, but spreads it. I want us to see three things here quickly. The first is, who is doing the persecuting and why? Look at the names thrown out in our verses. High priest, Sadducees, council, synod of Israel. This means all Jewish leaders. Almost every religious leader, almost every, because we're going to meet a few along the way, maybe one next week. But it is safe to say that all religious power and influence in Jerusalem is coming upon them. Why were they upon them? Our text says jealousy. That's what it says. They were losing authority and power. They were losing influence over the people. This means they were also losing money. Oh yeah, and don't forget about the power of God being revealed through fishermen and tax collectors and not through the religious elite. Jealousy is an understatement. Jealousy will lead you astray every single time. Don't believe it? Just look at our men and our pages, who are the experts on all things God. Watch them kill the Son of God and their long-awaited Messiah. Watch them drive away his followers. Jealousy dooms them eternally. What will ours do? Secondly, how were they persecuted? They've already been arrested. We've already seen an arrest on our pages in Acts. They're arrested again here. Next week we're going to see beatings. We know they are all martyred, these apostles. Jesus said, what they do to me, they will do to you. This is the persecution being had then, and it's still the persecution today. We may think people are not dying for their faith today, but we're wrong. Christians in prison all around the world awaiting execution. We just heard of 17 missionaries in Haiti kidnapped. Christians being hunted in Afghanistan as we speak. When that place fell, news immediately came out of Christian circles that many were expecting death inside of a week. Did they flee? No. They continue preaching with joy in their hearts. If you are one of his, you will be persecuted. If you're one of his, you will be cast out by the world. It may not be death, but ridicule. It may not be prison, but pressure. Look around you. If you can't see it in our country, then you're blind. If not yet to you, then soon. It is a promise if following the Son of God. The only way to prepare for it is to lean into your faith. To lean into your church and into prayer and into your Bibles. This means being here. If you lean into the world, then worldly will be your response. I want us to also look as the third thing here, the response from God before we move forward. God's response is always for his purposes to be done. That's what we're going to see every time. Enter the angels. Remember, we've discussed this group before. Every time God's purposes run up against the wall, they arrive and give the situation just a little push. Think about just our study across the New Testament. We went through Mark together. It's okay, Joseph. You can marry her. It's God's son. That's an angel. Hey, shepherds, go check out that manger. Go and tell everyone. That's an angel. Jesus, that was some trial you faced in the desert against Satan. Let us help you. Those are angels. Hey, ladies, this tomb is empty. He has risen. Go and tell everyone. That's an angel. Hey, guys, why are you staring at the sky? He left. He's going to return the same way, but he gave you a job. That's an angel. On our pages today, the leaders of the movement are arrested, and an angel of the Lord comes to the rescue. God intervenes on their behalf for his purposes and his glory. Imagine what this feels like to these religious leaders. Imagine for a moment you're in their shoes. The night before, the feeling's probably one of relief and happiness. We got them. This feeling turns into anger and humiliation the next morning. All that are gathered are everyone that looks up to this high priest. They're all who are in authority in Israel. That's who is standing here. Then the high priest sends for the prisoners. How would you like to deliver that news back to them? Sir, they were not there. What? Well, the doors were locked. The guards were still there. That sounds familiar. Big stone in front of a tomb, empty tomb. Guards are still there. Doors are locked. Guards are still there. They are not there. Let the manhunt begin, right? No. Someone strolls up and says, hey, those guys you arrested for preaching are in the temple, and they are preaching. So much for authority. Try to feel those emotions in those moments. This kind of thing reminds me of children at bedtime. You begin bedtime an hour before bedtime to get everyone to bed on time, right? You got teeth and bathroom and drinks and all the excuses. My head hurts, my belly hurts, my big toe hurts, my elbow hurts right here, whatever it is to stay up. You finally get them all in bed, shut the door, and you turn around and you run right into one. Where'd they come from? There's another one already in the bathroom. There's another one in your bed instead of in their bed. What's going on here? I think the angels are helping them out. That's frustrating. Anger's felt. Punishments are had. But think about the religious elite here in these apostles. One group claims authority and God, but the other group seems to be walking with God. Our events on our pages back them up. That's not a good feeling for the religious here. What should we take away from God making a way for his people? First, he does the same for you. You're not abandoned. You are not forsaken. There's light at the end of the tunnel you are in. Also, it will not be the way you would do it. It's not going to happen that way. It will not look like what you expect, what you think will happen, and it will not be on your timing. You think the apostles wanted to be in jail? No. They were seen through prison, not kept from it. If you've stopped praying for something in your life, then there's a good chance that's what you're praying for has already happened. It just didn't look like what you thought it would look like. Or it didn't happen in your timing, so you moved on. He is God and we are not, but he is always there. His presence is always with you. His purpose is always done through you. And heaven will always await you if you are his. Belief in his Son on the cross for you makes you his. Have this hope. Seeing in the tunnel that is your life, walk through that tunnel like you know who is with you. Walk like you know and lean into the people in this place. Your church will see you through. This is something that these elites on our pages cannot do. You can. Do you? Is the question. Let's look at the end of our section here today. The religious were without God. What do we see here? The apostles are arrested and escape, only to be arrested again, but they can't officially say it's arresting because they fear of being stoned. Not the stoning of the prisoners, but the guards and the leaders. That's what it says. The people in this area are on the side of Peter, of the church. These leaders have them in their sights, and the question is, we told you to stop teaching in the name of Jesus, and you have not. Why? What's the answer? We obey God and not men. Jesus was his son and you killed him. He is our leader and savior and is at God's right hand. He offers forgiveness for our sins. And all who believe this have God's Spirit given to them. Amen for that. Think of the things they just said and to the people they just said it to. I want to point out two things to take away from Peter's response here. First, this is an example of a life lived for Jesus. This is our example of being led by the Spirit of God in your life instead of our own desires or fears or the world. This is it. No one is perfect, and I don't expect you to get there, but look at Peter. We must follow God at all costs. God is right and the world is wrong. And Jesus is the Son and Messiah and Savior of the world, and we cannot do anything else but speak of it. Amen. What a beautiful example of boldness that can only come from the Spirit within you. Amen. The other thing to point to here is that Peter is essentially saying to these religious leaders that they do not belong to God. Think about it. To obey God rather than them, that's what he says. We obey God and not you. To do that, they've set themselves apart from God. To point out that they have killed their own Savior and Messiah sets them apart from God. To say that all who have God's Spirit follow God's Son sets them apart. Peter says they may have religion. They may be the experts on Scripture and the laws and the customs. They're the very ones that have been tasked with leading people to God, but they do not have God.
Amen.
The authority is of the world and not of their Father. Actually, to deny the Son is to deny the Father, so they have denied God. Now, this reminds me a little bit of bandwagon fans in sports. Anybody sports fans in here? Watch an occasional sporting event. There was a big one yesterday for people in Kentucky.
Amen.
You knew the diehard sports fans because they thought they had a chance of winning. That's the diehard UK fans when they faced Georgia yesterday. It would be like someone that's a UK fan going to that Georgia game and they've got a UK jersey on, but under it is a Georgia jersey. And when the game gets away from them, off comes the blue, and you see the red. Now they're a Georgia fan because they are winning. That's what a bandwagon fan is. One under the other. If the team on the outside loses, they just shed that jersey and celebrate with the other team. On the outside, their allegiance looks a certain way, but on the inside, they flow with the happenings of the world. This is what we're being shown here in our text today. The church looks a certain way. It is the same on the inside as it is on the outside, sold out for God. This is the example of Peter here. The religious leaders are an example of our bandwagon fan. They look one way on the outside. The religious elite, with all their prayers and their sacrifices and their customs and their laws. But on the inside, they look very different. Peter points to these differences. You denied Jesus. You denied the church. You denied the miracles. You walk around with religion as your cloak, but under that cloak is the world and not God.
Amen.
The world and not His Spirit guiding you. This is important because it points back to what we've been talking about this entire time, for weeks and months and all the way back to my first sermons here through James. Your faith is a gift from God that you do not earn. You are saved by God through your faith, but it is revealed in your life. We must be the same church on the outside that we are on the inside. You must be the same person on the outside that you are on the inside. Here's the problem. We can change the outside. We can do and say all the right things as a church family and individually in our lives. We can look the part. We can put on the jersey. You may fool your family and your neighbors and your friends, but you will not fool God. can change the outside, but God must change the inside.
Amen.
Who are we? The family of God. Do we look like it, and is it real? Who are you? A child of God. Do you look like it, and is it real? So those who are never here must reevaluate their lives. It feels like I'm picking on you, but if you can't give one of your 168 hours this week to God, to your church family, then how do you claim to be led by God?
Amen.
Also, to pick on everyone else, those who are always here, but leave God here when you leave here, need to reevaluate your life. If you claim to be a part of the church, but are never with the church, then you're probably not a part of the church. And if you're only the church while in the church, you're not the church. What does your life look like? And is it real? Let's wrap up today by summarizing and then asking a question. The apostles were arrested here out of jealousy. That's what our text says. They were also rescued by God. His purpose and will be done. Then they stand before all the religious leaders in the area and claim to follow God no matter what. Proclaim His Son no matter what. And that, and they say that these leaders themselves do not follow God. Here's our question. Do we find a way for this question to land on you in such a way that you can answer? The most important question of your life, do you follow God? Jesus is the only way, we know this, but is He our way? Look at it this way. Sheep or wolves, wheat or weeds, hearts changed or hearts hardened, children of God or of the world, well done or never knew you, heaven or hell. We can keep going. We have all these comparisons of people in Scripture. These are comparisons of people, one headed to heaven, one headed to hell. And the only difference between them is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the only difference. God inside of them. Find a way to clearly see your life. Use our text today. High priest or Peter? Think you have it all figured out, but don't have Jesus, or have nothing figured out, but cling to your Savior at all costs? What is it? We must be the church for the world around us. We must be. We must be the church for one another. We must be.
Amen.
First, we must answer the question. The gospel going out depends on it. The lives around you depend on it. Your eternity depends on it. What's the answer? Bring anything to your Father in heaven in these moments, but I ask you now to search for the answer as we sing. If you cannot find the answer to the question, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will have the answer today. Do you belong to God? What does your life say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so very much for bringing us to this faith place and making us your family. That's what we are, Father. The family of God gathered in this place. Press it upon our hearts, Father. We know what Jesus did for us. Help us realize that it wasn't just for us. It was for everyone around us. Everyone needs to hear this. Help us be the church we need to be.
Amen.
For one another, for our community, for your gospel to be had by the world. Help us be who we need to be. Are we yours, Father? That's the question. Help us find the answer today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.